Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk meditation, yoga, and style with beauty expert Angela C. Styles. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Hey. All right, you guys, welcome to Fit Club. I am your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon, along with my lovely co-host, Shaka. Where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
And right now we have a special guest. As you can see, her hair is on point, and she's known for doing many celebrity hair. You on LA Hair, the show, and now you are the head consultant over at Tantris. Yoga studio owned by Russell Simmons, but you guys also have a hair salon there. So we got to know more about that. Why a hair salon at a yoga studio?
Yo, I was brought into the whole thing like very like right before we were going to open. And I think it was actually a last minute thing. Russell kind of had the vision for his studio, and then there was this extra space. And one day he was just like, we should put a blow dry bar there. And then nobody really did hair or was in beauty. So then they were like, oh, we should get a consultant. And then somehow, like, my name got brought up and they pulled me into it. And I wrote my proposal and I was like, man, Lord, please let me get this job. Like, I would love to be a part of this. Like, it just sounds incredible. And they accepted it. And I've been with the company for like 6 months now.
Nice. So congratulations. So
thank you.
Do you get your hair blow dried after yoga or before yoga?
After, because it's hot yoga. All the classes are hot. It's infrared heat in the studios, which is very unique to most yoga facilities. Mm-hmm. So it's totally something different. It's more humid, but it is better for the body. Yeah. So yeah, you're going to sweat it out, very much so. Yeah. Burn some calories, baby. Exactly. And then you can come downstairs and get your hair did.
I have to tell you, so in December they had this great promotion. So I actually went to Tantris for maybe like 2 to 3 weeks. And I went every day. Mm-hmm. And this studio is amazing.
It's
and,
beautiful.
And I think more than just the beauty of it is the vibe. The vibe of the studio. They have a really good kind of way they resonate with people, the people that come there.
Yeah, we're all about the customer experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Russell is such a visionary when it comes to starting businesses, is because he wanted to deliver a yoga experience, you know, from all the places that he had been. I guess he still felt like there wasn't a place that gave what he really wanted to give as far as yoga goes. And to then add on to that by fusing the apparel. So there's also a full retail center. So as soon as you walk in, basically, I'm going to give you guys a walkthrough, a mental walkthrough. So as soon as you walk in, it's a beautiful space, first floor, Sunset and Doheny, right next to Boa. Mm-hmm. So it's already like the spot, mm-hmm. right? Soho House is upstairs, so it's cracking.
Oh, okay, so you're right. Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
So you walk in, and it's just Zen vibes all around. And then there's just clothes, like a long hallway, beautiful clothes, yoga clothes, books, different books from Russell and other like meditation books. And then there's jewelry and all that kind of stuff. If you look to the left, there is fresh juice and vegan bites and all kind of holistic snacks that you can grab, water, everything. You keep going straight, and it's more clothes. It's a lot of clothes.
So they have a beautiful outdoor patio right behind.
Oh my God, the outdoor patio is in the back. It's super serene. And then to the left of that is Tantra Style, which is the salon. So you can go over there and make your appointment, and then go upstairs. And then once you go upstairs, there's this beautiful lounge, more windows. You can see all, like, through Sunset, you can see the garden in the back. And there are books there. You can read more books. There's a little library. So you can read all about yoga, the history of it, the foundation of it, and just, you can just zen out. And then we have two rooms, which also become one for larger classes. But yeah, it's just a really nice place. Yeah.
Right now I go to, what is it, Encino Bikram Yoga, and it's nothing like you explained. Yeah,
I might need to upgrade and go visit you guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've done yoga everywhere, like really great classes, really great intensity, but they marry the intensity and the focus with also the feeling. And so that's what's so great about them.
Now, is there any, like, hip-hop music? You know, Russell is known for hip-hop, so do they play hip-hop music in the yoga classes?
Actually, this month, A Tribe Called Quest is the musical influence.
Really?
So if that gives you what's happening in the classes,
then you gotta go check that out. Yeah. All right, so I have so many more questions lined up for you, but first we'll jump into our hot fitness topics, and then we'll get back to you. So the first one we have on the list is is. How to cure a hangover.
Yeah, you know, it's like warmer weather now. Summer's coming up, so I think we're all drinking a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so I thought this was an interesting story because we always, that's been like, we can cure so many things, but we can't cure the hangover, mm-hmm. you know? And so we found that really a hangover happens when the alcohol you have goes to zero in your body. You think going to zero is good, but that's when your body starts to react. And it's a lack of vitamins, a lack of a lack of hydration as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're recommending certain foods like asparagus, avocado, and obviously water.
Mm-hmm. I find this interesting because they say you shouldn't drink on an empty stomach. I actually like to drink on an empty stomach because I feel like that's the only time I get a buzz.
Okay.
I think because I always have so much food in my stomach, I won't feel my wine. I won't feel my drink.
Yeah.
But they also say the color of the alcohol is an indicator of the congeners.
And this was the first, first I heard of the term congeners, but I have heard of the darker the liquor that can give you a worse hangover.
So it's the fermentation of the alcohol. So if the alcohol is darker, mostly bourbon, whiskey, some tequila, they have more congener in the alcohol, which correlates with you might be hungover even longer than a lighter liquor.
And the funny part, they said, you know, the hair of the dog, you know, having that drink in the morning, that makes you feel better. It's not good because it's going to delay the hangover.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I used to love that because that gave me time to beat the hangover.
Yeah.
So if I'm still a little drunk in the morning or I have another drink, now I'll eat. Now I'll get the water.
Right,
now I'll get the vitamins. So
right.
when the hangover sets in, I'm good.
Yeah. So if you're hungover, definitely make sure you keep hydrated. They say stay away from aspirin or those things.
That will compromise the liver.
Yeah.
Right.
But this cleanse that I'm doing, I've been kind of promoting it.
You can't drink on the cleanse, can you?
No, you can't. But what I've learned on the cleanse, I'm taking activated charcoal.
So good.
And
yeah.
I'm doing a lot of research on it. And what it does is it actually pulls toxins from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good doing a cleanse because it's going to pull the extra toxins. But what I researched and found out is that a lot of, hospitals, doctors, what they do when they have a patient who has alcohol poisoning, has overdosed on drugs, they actually give them charcoal pills. It's better than pumping their stomach.
I used to take them out when I go to the club. But here's the problem when you're getting drunk.
Did you?
The thing is, you're supposed to do like a pill after each drink, but you're getting drunk, so you don't remember to do the pill after
the
each drink. You might get in one pill, maybe, but after that, you forget.
That is
but
funny.
It does, it's effective if you can somehow remember.
I need to write that down.
I wish I would have known. I would have brought some in. But do you have anything that you do to like cure a hangover?
Well, first of all, when I drink, I just always, like, no matter how drunk I get, I make sure I just drink at least one bottle or two bottles of water before I go to sleep, and that usually always helps.
Yeah.
But the next day, if I'm hungover, pho or matzo ball soup always does the trick for me. I don't know what it is, either one of those, it's something in that soup that, like, knocks it out.
Yeah, makes sense. Or even carbs. I used to eat a lot of carbs.
Or even a little bit of yoga. Sweat it out.
Definitely a sweat out.
Yeah, that's true. You guys out there watching, if you have any hangover tips, tricks that you have been using that, you know, works for you, please share them on our Instagram. We have a new Instagram, at Fit Club. BHL
and Facebook.
Facebook, same thing.
And Twitter.
We have a Twitter too.
Yeah,
okay, Shocker.
We're everywhere now.
So let us know in there. Or again, if you're on YouTube or iTunes, you can let us know in the comment area and rate us 5 stars.
And if you guys hashtag at Fit Club, hashtag Fit Club BHL with your questions, we'll try to respond to them on air.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. So the next one we have is yoga effective for depression? And we had a psychologist on a couple weeks ago who kind of, you know, made it clear that it really does help. But this study shows that even if you don't take meds, antidepressants, if you're not seeing a therapist, doing yoga alone can help with mild to moderate to even severe depression.
Yeah.
Shaka, tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's what I loved about this. I forget the name of the doctor, but I guess she was... has an Indian background, and so she's already a psychologist, right? A clinical psychologist, and she just kind of found that they didn't really take a holistic look at the patient. You know, it was all very clinical, and people were having trouble being served in a very spiritual way. So we know with yoga that really kind of serves you spiritually, and people were able, when she took an integrative approach, she was able to get better results from her clients. And then the study was also backed up by another competing study at Boston University, with examined people with severe depression who were on antidepressants, and it found that it helped them as well.
Wow.
So So there's a lot of to be shown for yoga really helping. And there's so many studies in the eastern part of the world, but mm-hmm. they thought weren't applicable in the western part of the world. Somehow we're so different that yoga might have a different effect on us, rather.
It's so interesting because today I was at the bookstore and I picked up a book called Quantum Healing by the Dalai Lama, who is an Ayurveda practitioner, which means you marry both. You marry Western medicine along with Easternized medicine, which mostly they practice, you know, meditation, yoga, all that stuff. And there were so many studies that he showed in his practice as a doctor where, you know, people would think it was miracles where he would have a client, a patient come in who would have stage 4 breast cancer and, you know, they're only given so many months to live. And what he would do is he would let them decide whether if they wanted to do the chemo or the radiation, but he would also make them do yoga and meditate. And a lot of them would have miraculous results where when they would do x-rays, the cancer would disappear. And it just really shows there is a true mind-body connection.
Yeah.
And a lot of even things that we've talked about on the show, different studies, you know, there's scientific proof that if your immune system is compromised or your stress levels are, you know, through the roof and you have a gene in you for a certain disease, most likely that's going to trigger to express it and then you'll get that disease. So your mental health is so important when it comes to your physical health.
It's so important.
Yeah, and we're not saying don't go to the doctor. We're saying do everything.
Like Don't just do one thing.
Don't just rely on drugs. Yeah. And Western medicine to do the job.
Yeah, look for an integrative approach.
So I know you do yoga. Did you start doing yoga when you started working at Tantris, or were you doing it prior?
Actually, I was raised around yoga.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, my mom.
Where are you from? Texas?
I'm from Chicago. Oh, Chicago. Yeah, Chi-Town.
Okay.
Probably because I kind of have a little bit of an accent, a little twang there, you know. But no, my mom, she was always into yoga when I was growing up. And so if I had like a stomach ache or a headache, she would make me do yoga poses.
Oh, wow.
To like help me feel better.
Oh, so you were already doing this.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I thought it was kind of corny, to be honest. I was like, okay, Mom, I'll do it. And then sometimes I would feel
a lot better.
She's, she started off in entertainment. So she was an actor, dancer. And then after she had kids, she decided to become a teacher. But now, so she teaches dance and drama.
Oh, okay.
So she's very into the arts. She's very into yoga. She's totally a flower child, like all day. So I guess that's where I got it from. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I moved to LA and then I put what I already knew about yoga with heat. And then I was like, yo, this is a workout. Like, I can sweat. Because that was the thing is I was so active in other things. I didn't feel like yoga gave me enough of a sweat or enough.
Yeah. I am the same exact way.
And
I want to sweat.
Because I would be, I'd be in the yoga class for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I feel like I still need to
work out.
And now I'm at the gym for 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. So when I found the two together, I was like, oh, this is my thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because I have started doing other workouts. They have like heated cycling and other things. I personally, I don't like it. I think I like the heated yoga, but I think the heated cycling, I think it's a little dangerous.
It's too intense, I feel
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, even the heated yoga can be can be dangerous if you're not watching yourself or remaining hydrated.
Yeah.
I did do a heated yoga at Tantris, and of course, I stand right next to the window, and the sun's just blazing. So I had to make sure I was also hydrated.
Yeah. And then you don't want to be embarrassed and leave the class, so you have to, like...
in a true yoga class, you have that meeting of yourself where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to get up and go, it's all right. Everyone understands.
Yeah. So I'm competitive. Yeah. I won't go. I'll die in the class before I walk.
I never walk down either.
I never walk.
No, that's
exactly.
But it's okay to just sit on your hands, like sit on your knees. Yeah, and kind of just like zen out for a second.
I'll never forget my first yoga class ever. I had one in the class with a friend who was like super religious. She was like, I don't know about yoga. And I was like, let's just take the class. So we sat in the class. At the end, they have you do child's pose and you meditate. And I remember just waking up and the lights are on and everybody's gone. And I'm like,
did you fall asleep?
I fell asleep in class.
And I love that they let you sleep. That's great.
And then when I left, I was told my girlfriend, where did you go? And she was like, no, just because they play different types types of music, and she's super religious. And she was like, "No, that doesn't sound right." And it was just interesting. I'm just trying to
imagine you falling asleep in child's pose.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I've actually fallen asleep before.
Have you? Yeah.
Probably so not as the long only one.
Here
yeah.
we go.
Yeah, it's so, you're so relieved at the yeah. end, and you're finally just like, I made it. Oh,
and they
God.
Make it calm. Yeah, they make
yeah.
it calm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was my first experience with yoga. Meditation, we have this other article by Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He explains that he is a changed man after meditating with the holiness Dalai Lama. Shaka, tell us more about
well,
that.
Well, of course you're going to be changed right after meditating with Dalai Lama. I like this story because Sanjay Gupta is like this doctor, and here's a Dalai Lama who seems they seem to have like that Eastern Western, you know, at odds. But he said he met the Dalai Lama, and for him, and this kind of opened my eyes to meditation, because I try to meditate and it's hard to calm this this mind that's always going crazy. And he found that they did, what is it, analytical meditation. And so rather than trying to do single item meditation where it's like a tone, like an om or something like that, they went with think of a problem that you have, put it in a bubble in your head, and focus on that bubble and divorce it from everything else. And he said when he did the analytical meditation, for his mind that races, that's what was able to kind of quiet him down. Mm. And the things that happen during meditation where you figure out life and its problems and your own issues, that's when he was able to get to that part of meditation. And so what I liked about it is that I've been at Tantris, they have a meditation component to the yoga too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I've been trying to focus a little bit more on that as well.
Yeah, so we do have a meditation component, and it involves like chanting and saying like ohms and stuff like that. And at first I was kind of like, this is too much. Now I'm not into it. And then when I finally started to quiet my mind and really wrap my head around it, I felt so much clearer after I would leave class. And I felt a lot more connected to the here and now. You know what I mean? So it's amazing. I tried to meditate at home for maybe like 2 weeks, and I definitely felt a difference like in my everyday.
Yeah. It's funny, being from Boston and moving to LA, I truly find myself, and I had to accept it, I am a hippie.
Me too.
Like, I am a hippie. I love all this stuff. Yeah. Like, it's like another piece of me keeps on opening up and trying new things. And you're just like, wow. Like, it's just, I really feel like this melting pot has really opened up my eyes. You're lucky where your mom already had that in her. Like,
yeah, but my surroundings, Chicago is like the mean streets. I grew up in the hood, okay? So, like, she might have been a little flower growing in the concrete, but everything else around me was like, girl, what? Like, you know? So it wasn't until I moved out here too, that I started to really embrace, like, my connection to the universe and and grounding myself and being present and all that hippie kind of stuff. But it really works.
It works. And even no matter where you are, you just find it works. Like, so even if as you get older and you discover certain things, you're like, wait a minute, I should have been doing this entire time.
I love in this story, too, that the doctor was saying, you know, his meditation, it's difficult for him. And at 81 years old, the Dalai Lama, who wakes up every day at 3 a.m. to meditate, he said it's even difficult for him.
And he said he's been doing for 60 years every day, and it's difficult for him. So it's something that does take work. It's going to take work. Yeah,
it's definitely a practice.
If you guys out there have any tricks on meditating, every time I meditate at home, I fall asleep. I don't know what it is. I'm narcoleptic when I meditate.
Try to do the analytical meditation. I'm going to try it now.
Because I do have a problem. Remember before the show, I'll think of that problem.
Yeah, think of your problem, put it in the bubble. And just
or do the guided meditation where someone is talking.
Oh, that's true.
The music, that helps a lot.
But then only I pass out usually pretty quickly with that one.
All right, before we jump into you, I just want to tell you guys a little bit about my experience so far doing this 20-day cleanse.
She started, yes.
I actually started. I usually say a lot of things I want to do on the show that I actually don't do, but I did start
it.
I started it, and so far it's been really, really great. I've been posting on my social media, trying to keep you guys updated. But basically, these first 3 days have been pretty good. I had to be raw vegan.
So
I'm
you've been
still
raw vegan for 3 days.
3 days.
Not so hard, right?
Not as hard. What's interesting is that I don't feel hungry.
Yeah.
And I think when I was constantly eating so much food, whatever I want, it was almost like my body was always hungry. And now when I eat, I feel like, okay, that's enough.
And these are fruits and vegetables, so you're getting that fruits, fiber.
I went to Whole Foods yesterday, and I was so lost. I should have went with a grocery list because I'm like, I don't know what to get.
They give a everything lot of has items.
Organic, but I'm like, but is it raw? But is it vegan?
They some things have will too many raw. Specialty. Yeah, they have too many specialty.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been finding some blogs online that have been helping me to, you know, kind of figure out what I can eat, can't eat. And the doctor has been so good. Every day we touch base and she checks on me, see how I'm doing. I got this little pill box to put all the herb capsules in because every 3 hours you have to take 5 different herb pills.
Oh, it's intense.
Yeah, it's intense. So every 3 hours, I set alarms
three
on my
hours?
Phone.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. So I set alarm for my phone every 3 hours so that way I don't miss a different pill. And each 5 pills represents a different part of your system that the cleanse is trying to clean. So one is for your liver and kidneys, one is for your blood, one is for your respiratory system, one is for your productive system, and then the last thing you do is charcoal and water, and you drink it before you go to bed. You have to drink distilled water, so I just load up this every day with distilled water. And the reason why she wanted me to go vegan the first 5 days is because when you're doing this, your body is going through so much that you don't want to make your body work harder than it needs to. So you don't want to eat processed food. Right. Even with my workouts, I'm not allowed to lift heavy. I'm not allowed to do like intense HIIT. So going for walks, meditating, stuff like that. And I'll tell you, I have lost 5 pounds since Monday.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And the bloat. And the bloat on my stomach has gone down. And what I like about this too, it's not a juice cleanse that's just going to have you on the toilet every day. And then once you stop, you gain it right back.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you be more regular. However, it doesn't, you know, just shove everything out of your system.
So you have 2 more days being raw vegan?
Yep, so I have 2 more days.
Will you have the option to continue it past those 2 days?
So she's going to kind of see how I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm having certain cravings, she may incorporate that back into my diet.
Yeah.
But I've noticed I'm like I'm kind of like a crazy raw vegan. Like last night for dinner, I didn't know what to make. So I literally just ate a whole cucumber and a whole pepper. I was like, wow. I'm sick of salads.
Okay.
Actually, your raw vegan powder has been holding me over too.
That's
your protein powder.
It's raw vegan. Yeah. When I was eating the cucumbers, eating the different, they almost come alive. Like even before I came here, I got a big, you saw me, Shaka.
Yeah,
I had a big
thing of fruit.
Bowl of fruit, and I just devoured it, and it was so good. It's like my taste buds are kind of coming alive again. I can literally enjoy everything I'm eating instead of, okay, this isn't satisfying me. So that was long-winded, but things are going good.
Yes.
And Shamika, thank you. Shamika actually gave me a special code for you guys. If you want to do the cleanse, you'll get a certain percentage off. It's FIT5, so if you go to her website, shamikamd.com, put in the code. And then if you do it, please reach out to me because she will contact you directly. But come through me so I can give her your information.
And we'll go ahead and tweet that later so you guys can look on Twitter.
All right, so let's talk about hair. I always get on my Instagram, how do you keep your hair, you know, popping when you're working out? Because it's like it doesn't go together. When I want to feel beautiful and I want my hair to look good, sometimes I have to compromise my workout to do so. So do you have any tips on how to keep your hair, you know, looking good, but also...
Especially and as a black woman, too, because so many of my black friends, like my black girlfriends, I try to bring to the gym, like, oh, I just got my hair done, can't go to the gym for a bit.
Yeah. That's why a lot of women in the black community especially are overweight is because they're professional women. They have to compromise their look every day, you know, how they present themselves at work versus working towards a better and a healthier look for themselves. So, yeah, great question. It's kind of a challenge. I'm not going to lie, even for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I say a few tips. Number one is if you have more of a creative job or creative field where you don't have to be super corporate, hair flare and hair accessories are always going to be a great way to do it. Like turbans now and like thicker scarves, headbands, that kind of thing is going to be super helpful. Two, like braids and buns are going to be your best friend.
Yes,
so,
I bun it up every day except for the show.
Yeah, just, you know, give your hair, give yourself a little bit of swoop. If you got some baby hair, give yourself a little baby hair moment, you know. And there's, you can still put a little hair flare in there if you wanted to, depending on the style. All that's going to help quite a bit. Then the third thing is just having a little extra hair, you know. It doesn't matter how long your natural hair is or how short. If you do want to work out, it's very helpful to have a wig or some clip-ins or, you know, even like a clip-in bang or something.
Oh, that's smart. So it's not greasy looking.
Yeah, so your edges aren't looking all greasy and thin.
Oh, that's smart.
And so if you do a bun, you can pop your little bang on and then it, and then you can take a little headband or a scarf and then put something over that. And then it looks like you just were doing your flyness. those are pretty much going to help a lot. You also, while you're working out, if you set your hair a certain way, just set it during your workout and then shower, let yourself cool down and dry, and then take that down. So you can do like two twists going around the hair. And then when you take that down after it's dry, you'll have waves. Or if you do braids before you work out, you could take that down and you'll have a wavy hair. Or pin curls, anything like that. It's okay to look crazy when you go to the gym. Like,
I am
not about trying to be fly wearing makeup and having my hair done when
I'm in the gym.
That's
the problem in LA.
Like,
some people are trying to be that, you know, as if they're going into
their
audition,
way
right?
too hard. Like, no, this is the time for you. You know what I mean? It's meditate. Like, working out is a form of meditation, you know? So it's like, take the focus off looking good in that moment and focus on looking good after you get your sweat on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So definitely setting the hair before you work out and letting it stay like that until after you're done is going to help too. So hopefully those tips kind of work. Yeah.
Do you have a go-to yoga style that you, where you're hearing for yoga or any other workout?
It honestly just depends on what my hair is doing. So with it being curly like this, I just kind of take some and like pin it up, take it off of my face or like put it in a low ponytail. If my hair is, it just really depends on how my hair is, but usually I'll either wrap a scarf around it, or I'll kind of just let it be wild and deal with it later, but I do hair, so it's easier for me. But most people, scarves and wraps are always going to help, wigs are going to help, and then just like updos, buns, and braids.
And what about dry shampoo? Do you like dry shampoo? Are you a fan of it?
I love dry shampoo. So we're partnered, at Tantris, we're partnered with Aveda, and all their products are organic and natural. They're all from the earth. Oh no, that's terrible. and we have a great dry shampoo. It's kind of like a powder form, but it comes from rice. Pretty much and different things, but yeah, dry shampoo is super helpful when you sweat a lot and you want to take the oil out. Most people think it's a cleanser. It's not a
cleanser.
No, it really just extracts oil from the hair.
So I would never really use dry shampoo. Only after I got super sweaty, I guess.
Not really, because like actually, sweat makes the hair dry because it has salt in it.
Yeah,
but if you have sweat plus your oil, like the natural sebum from your skin and scalp, that's what produces the oil. So once those mix, then it just becomes like an oil.
So the dry shampoo does nothing for cleanliness?
No.
It's just
like,
not at all.
For me especially, I have fine hair, so it's very flat.
Yeah.
So after a workout, if I don't have time to wash my hair, I will use the dry shampoo to just kind of give it some volume, because there won't be any volume if I don't use
it. Because her hair is fine, the natural oil from her scalp kind of just makes everything separate.
See?
So the dry shampoo basically absorbs the oil, and then it feels kind of like you have clean hair. It's more of a chalky feeling.
Yeah.
Though.
I have all this dry shampoo. I was going to put some in my gym bag because I can't take showers when I leave. Now I know.
Disclaimer, dry shampoo does not clean the hair.
You should call it something else. I'll call it shampoo. Fool me real quick.
That is funny. Now, I see a lot of women, including myself, I wear hats to the gym.
Yeah.
Is that hindering good hair after the fact because the sweat is going everywhere? Or is it better because it's keeping it in place? When you I don't know if I should be wearing a hat or not.
And add on to that, does it cause any hair loss by wearing a hat too much?
It doesn't cause hair loss by wearing a hat unless you're wearing it too tight and it's rubbing in some kind of strange way in the same spot. Okay. So if you are going to wear hats excessively, if you work out once a day or twice a day, maybe try to shift the direction of where your hat is. I know for me, when I wear fitteds, they hurt right here, like at the top of my head. So I try to just shift the way that I wear them. But as far as a hairstyle go, it usually will mess up your hairstyle. So what I would recommend is if you do want to wear a clean, like cute ponytail or a braided look, I would do that. And then I would put a silk or satin scarf on top of it. And then I would put my hat on. Then the scarf is kind of holding the style down, but then it's also catching some of the sweat. So it's not just going into your hairstyle.
Makes sense. Nice. I get that. And then what about hair loss? Especially, I know a lot of women that I train, if they're stressed out, have a lot of anxiety, I notice they'll complain, I'm losing hair. So is there anything, tricks or vitamins that you can do to try to get your hair to grow back?
Gummies. I see a lot of girls on Instagram with gummy bears for their hair.
Yeah, I actually am an educator for another organic hair care company called Mayel Organics, and we do have hair growth pills and gummies for children. And those are fortified with like biotin and other like products that really help encourage growth. But if I'm not a pill popper, so they do work, but I'm not someone who's regimented enough to take that kind of stuff. But honestly, for growth, the best thing you can do is increase the circulation of your scalp. So massaging your scalp every day, every other day, using a scalp stimulating brush and brushing on the scalp and really giving it that love and giving it that excitement is going to stimulate the follicle and encourage growth. Or you can like lay upside down for a few minutes and that's going to help a few minutes a day.
Getting the blood to rush to the head.
When the blood is upside down.
Yeah. Really? So when the blood is circulating to the scalp or when you're moving the hair and the follicle around, that's how you're going to stimulate growth the most natural way. But yeah, you can just take vitamins like hair, skin, and nails pills. They help. Vitamins with vitamin A, vitamin D, that kind of stuff helps. Anything with biotin will help as well. And then you kind of just have to see if they're on any medication too. Medication sometimes really changes the game. Or if you're dieting and you're not taking in enough calories per day, that can also affect hair loss.
Because you're malnourished.
Exactly. So the hair is a protein. If you're not getting enough protein in the body, then what's it going to do? It's going to break. So
you're schooling us.
How did you get into this area, this beauty style area?
Well, hair has always been my life.
Hair is life.
Hair is life, right? But since I was a kid, like, my mom, she's a flower child, she would look crazy, and I would just be like, what's wrong with your hair? Like, come here. Like, let me do it. So I've been doing hair literally since I was a kid, and then in high school, that was, like, my side hustle.
Yeah.
So I was braiding the guy's hair on the porch, making my $15 a pop. Like, if you wanted designs, it was $15. If you wanted straight backs, it was $10. So I was doing that, and then I went to college for a year, and I just didn't like feeling broke. So I was like, hey, Ma, I think I want to go to cosmetology school. And she was very encouraging. I mean, everybody knew that was my thing.
Yeah.
So then from cos, I just kept adding on, like working in the salon, working with people, and then I started working with celebs when I came out here, and I just got more into education and like understanding hair, and then so now I'm kind of like a hair doctor in a way.
Nice.
That's cute. So how did you get on LA Hair? Because that's what really broke the door open for you to let everybody know who you are, not just celebs.
It did. Well, so I came to LA just kind of random, and I was hanging out with one of my friends, shout out to Lamorne.
Hey,
that's
Lamorne.
How we met.
Yeah, Lamorne.
And he kind of just gave me his whole, like, I moved and I had nothing testimony. And then now, I mean, you guys seen him in films, new girl. Like, he's in the Adam Sandler movie that just came out. But at the time, he had a show on, I don't know, like TNT or something. Like, he interviewed people on roller coasters. It was so random.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And he had just written on one of his first films, and he did all this kind of cool stuff. And I was kind of like, wow, like, I never thought about moving to L.A. until now. Like, you really opened my eyes up to something different. So I basically decided on that trip that I was going to move to L.A. So I did my research, and I found out about Kimball Hair Studio.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah, Kimball,
I moved to L.A. because of Lamorne's story, too.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, really? Lamorne is out here making believers out.
Yeah.
And look at us now. So yeah, I mean, it's a trickle down effect. I think a lot of people after they saw me working were like, I want to move, you know? And so that's the importance of just following your dreams is that other people get inspired by what you do.
And spreading that love,
Yeah, but so, like, long story short, I reached out to the manager or whoever at Kimball Hair Studio. I sent my information. I put a deck together and, like, presented it all nicely.
Listen, everybody.
Yeah. Most people think hairstylists aren't, you know, computer savvy or don't know how to package themselves, but that is really the main ingredient to becoming successful or to diversify. Otherwise, you'll just literally, and not to say it in this way, but you'll just be a hairstylist. Like, you only know how to work with your hands. And, I mean, that to me is kind of like the equivalent of a mechanic or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you don't take your profession to the next level, then you'll never be able to.
And you reached out. Because so many people say, how did this happen or how did that happen? I'm like, well, because I had to reach out.
It doesn't come to you. Like, you have to go knocking on doors.
Yeah, it's not just like once or twice. You got to go bang.
So after I made that initial connection, the manager seemed interested. I still had to do what I needed to do to transfer my license over. And then
to get
basically
a California,
because every state has its own certificate.
They
like
gotta make money. They all gotta make money.
Exactly.
Right?
So I went through that step, and then when I like every few weeks, I would keep calling and letting them know, like, I'm still planning to come. I'm doing this. My license should be here in a few more weeks, and I would follow up with her. And I think she appreciated my persistence. So when I got here, the day after I landed,
I'm here.
I went straight up to the salon. Like, hey, I had another deck, a larger deck with stuff in it. Here you go, bound, you know, in plastic, you know, college style. And, 3 days later, I got hired.
Nice. Yeah.
So then I was just working there, and producers offered her the opportunity to shoot a pilot, and I was, you know, there. So I just thought God was telling me that that's what I needed to do. And so that's how LA Hair came. It just was a group of us stylists that were already working at her salon, and we had crazy personalities, and they were like, oh, this could be a show.
So what we saw on the show, was that really how things went down behind the scenes when the cameras weren't there? Because I've done, you know, a docu-series type of show, and I know it's real, but there's certain things that producers will hype up or, you know, so did you really have, you know, problems with other hairstylists? Did you really have, you know, was that all real?
I'll say this. So I had my own salon at the time.
Oh, yeah, I remember. So you even opened it up on the show, I think.
But way before.
Oh, really?
Way before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But we were still working together, and because we had to shoot together, you know, more than what we normally did, kind of tension would arise based on that.
Okay.
But I was already in the process of branching out, and so especially the animosity that Kim and I had, that was real. It just was framed around the fact that we were shooting in that context. So it's not fake necessarily, but it's just contained because you're being put in this situation that you would normally not be in for that long. You know, imagine if we just were in here for 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, I normally probably wouldn't curse you out, but because we have to be contained in this space for so long, anything can happen. And so, I mean, with production and stuff like that, you know, I'm sure they get people and they're like, well, tell your side of the story. Let them know how you feel. And they
encourage.
Because
you're in those rooms, I tell you. Those confessional rooms or whatever where you're just with the producers, they will keep you there
for a long
6 hours.
Yeah.
Talking about the same, and it would get to the point where I'm like, you tell me what you want me to say.
Exactly.
Just tell me.
And then, you know, when you're not familiar with, because the only advice that I got about doing the show was just be true to you. Be true to who you are. And I honestly was true to who I was.
But when I watched the show, I thought that was you. Like,
it was.
Yeah.
It pretty much was me, except I think no one got to see how goofy I am. Like, I'm so silly. Like, I like to have a good time. So the serious, ambitious, I'm going to stand up for myself side of me was real. It's just that it made it seem like that was the only side.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So coming from that show, having your own hair salon, seeing what your career is now, what else do you see? I mean, you came to LA just thinking, okay, I'm going to work, you know, at Kimball Hair Salon. Now you have so much going for you. What else do you hope for the future for your career?
Well, I'm working on a children's book.
Oh, that's nice.
So that is really my baby. I should be dedicating more time to it, but things with Tantris has me busy. My own personal clientele has me busy, and then educating for Mayel has me busy, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's been a lot to juggle, but honestly, the series is called Pretty Curls Club, and it's about girls loving their texture, and I'm creating characters that reflect you and reflect me, and making sure that I instill those little facts that moms should be instilling into their kids about hair care, but in a fun way. So it rhymes. You know, it's going to be fun for kids, I think, but my goal is to actually start teaching moms how to
care for their children.
Care for their children's hair. Moms and dads.
Yeah.
And especially with like a lot of
mixed babies
and the moms have straight hair, the kids have this texture, and they don't know how to do it. And they also, because they don't know how to do it, they say negative things about it, and then that becomes, you know, something that a child carries with them.
And I carry it with me.
Yeah, and it leads to them being insecure. It leads to them feeling like they're not good enough. And so it all really starts with the baby. So I'm taking my brand, everything I've learned on clients, and I want to, you know, bring that into the home, into the household.
I think that's so important to get education young, and not just education for people that are brown and black, but even for white people, because they need to be exposed a lot of times to just different culture and what it looks like, especially at an early age.
Yeah.
Because I had so many questions about my hair growing up.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 11, I was sick of it. You know
what I mean? You're like, it's just hair.
Yeah, come on. You know, earlier on, you're like, okay, it's cool to educate other people. But at a certain point, you know, so it's good that you're putting that message out and showing different society.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when I was younger, I had really curly hair and I hated it. Yeah. I wanted my hair straight. Now I've straightened my hair so much, it don't even curl. Actually, I gotta wand it to get some curl to it. So, you know, had I loved my hair then, I could be sitting like you with some nice curly hair.
But yeah, that's most people's stories. Yeah. And my clients come to me all the time and they're like, man, I wish I knew what I had when I was a kid. So this is really my way of telling these kids, like, you've got it.
Yeah.
And don't try to diminish what you have.
Embrace it.
Your difference is good. Be happy.
I love that. When that book comes out, I will definitely give it to my niece.
Thank you.
She will keep her beautiful, long, curly hair.
So that's like my main goal, is to really push the book and the series. I don't know what that could catapult into. And then I'm continuing to grow and educate with the two brands that I'm working with, and then also my hair extensions line, Conscious Curls. I give a portion back to a nonprofit. So, I'm just kind of out here just working, doing my thing, having a good time.
Yeah, it's so nice to see your growth.
Thank you.
Being here, I've been here 5 years, and it's like, I have to keep up with you. I'm like, what's she got going on now?
She's
at a yoga studio? I'm like, okay. But yeah, you need to work on this head too. After the show, we got to figure out, you know.
Get your cleanse on. I need a different look.
Yeah, I got my cleanse, get my hair together. For those watching, where can they find you online? How can they make a consultation or appointment?
Well, actually, everything with me is at Angela C. Styles. I have a weekly YouTube series that I talk about. It's called Here for Your Hair. And I talk about hair. I do some styling stuff. I kind of open up a little bit of my world to you. And then for appointments, you can see me at Tantris on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have an amazing team that I've trained. We're open 7 days a week. So if you are guys and girls...
I was going to say, do you still do men's hair?
We do men's hair as well.
I can get my braids. I can.
Yeah, you get your corners. You do braids. So yeah, we're open 7 days a week. We don't do color or extensions, but any hair type, any texture. We do shampoo, styles, conditioning, and cuts. So... Tantris is in West Hollywood, 9200 Sunset Boulevard. And yeah, that's pretty much all me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. I will definitely have to make an appointment with you.
Yes.
Get this hair did. You guys can find me online, same place, fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on social media. Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. And again, we have our Fit Club BHL. You can find us on all those platforms as well.
All right, you guys, stay strong, stay healthy. We'll see you next week, same time, same place on Fit Club.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Crispo, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff,
we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.